It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right, as we continue our series here, going through every state, including you, Washington, D.C., we're at number two here. We're at Alaska, and I'm super excited by this because I've actually never been to Alaska, so I don't know how you have all these stereotypes of Alaska, right? It's always snowing, and it's always dark and everything, but we're going to learn more about the state system there in Alaska. So help me welcome Coach Hall from Chugiak High School. Melissa, thanks for being here. I really appreciate you stepping up and representing the state of Alaska for us today. Why don't you start with a 30,000-foot level introduction of yourself.
Okay. My name is Melissa Hall. I have been a track coach at Chugiak High School. It's the only high school I've coached at here in Alaska since 2011 was my first year. I started out as the assistant coach under a great, great guy. And when he moved to Montana, he passed the baton on to me, so to speak. And so I've been the head coach there since, I think it was 2013, could have been 2014. I can't remember, but been part of the Mustang family for a long time and really loved the job. I've been working also as assistant coach and co-head coach at different times throughout the year, throughout the years, as cross-country coach as well. So that's in addition to the track.
Awesome.
I'm also president of the USA Track and Field Alaska Association. So we help run off-season meets. For most people, you know, they run their all-comers and that kind of thing in the summer, but we do most of ours in the winter because we have an indoor track. We're lucky enough to have an indoor track here in Alaska, and we get to do some indoor meets in the winter, get kids prepped for the spring season.
Awesome. Love that. Very thorough. I love that you're involved in USATF as well as the high school side of things and been doing it for quite a while. That's awesome. Great to have you here and helping us learn us, teach us the Alaskan way, if you will. So let's start. Some states, not all, have a separate track for private and public schools, a different like organization that oversees them. They go to a private school state meet and we have public school state meets. How are we doing this in Alaska, private and public schools?
Well, the private schools, they have some great runners, by the way, and athletes. They actually run with the public schools. So they might be in like region three, depending on where they are, they might be in different regions throughout the school. And then at the state meet, they're competing with equally sized schools as opposed to having their own individual meets.
So everybody's going towards the same state title, that regardless of your public or private school.
Exactly. There's two different divisions, but yeah, say they're both going, it's all happening at the same meet.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. You might have answered this next question. So how many divisions or classes or what do you call it? Do we have there in Alaska?
So we have region one and division one and division two, sorry about that. And division one are the larger schools like Chugiak. We're one of the larger schools, and division two are the smaller schools. And what's interesting about Alaska is that, you know, by smaller schools, we have some of the private schools, but then we also have some of the schools that are in the villages, and they might have six kids in their class, but they can also apply or they can also qualify as well. So it's kind of neat to see them be able to compete on a larger stage.
When you said six kids on the team or six kids in the school?
Sometimes six kids on the team. Some of the school teams are very small, but we've had some incredible athletes come out of these smaller schools, For example, Delta Junction is one small community, and their high school is a little bit bigger, but it's still a very remote school. It's on the road system, but Haley Williams, one of our fastest 100 and 200 meter runners in the state, she's now at Notre Dame. So you get some great athletes who figure out a way to run on airport runways, or, you know, in their back fields to make their way to the state meet. So it's kind of cool.
Awesome. Love that. So we're a two, and we call them divisions, a two division state. We got large schools, and I hate to say small schools, but large school, small school division. So we're doing two boys state team titles and two girls state team title championship teams.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Now, how do we get to that state meet before we start talking about the state meet? How do we actually get there? All across the country, we have these different names, areas, sectionals, districts, all these sectionals, all these different names. What's the first round of qualifying for this Alaska state meet?
So I'm going to tell you what we do in region, in the Cook Inlet region. So the Cook Inlet Conference is made up of eight schools, and to qualify for regions, you have to be, do you just want state or regions? Because it's slightly different for qualifying for regions for each of the regions.
Yeah, whatever the first one. So if regions is the first meet, and out of regions, they go to state or sectionals, whatever next. Yeah, whatever that first round is.
Mm-hmm. So for our region, we take the top three. We have a 7-year average the kids have to meet. So every event has, you know, if you meet this average, you will qualify for regions. If we get 10 kids who can qualify in that event for regions, then we can take all eight of them to regions. For instance, our 400 meter runners, girls, this past year qualified, I believe, six into the 400. In the 800, we had like seven or something like that. So, but in general, you can only take three. So if you have, say, the cutoff for the 400 is 104 for the girls, and you have six girls that can run 104, you can send six girls in. If you have only two girls that run 104 and one that runs 106, she's our number three.
And so you're talking about per team getting into the actual, yeah, perfect. Okay, so each team can enter three kids per event, but there's also the 7-year average that if you have additionals, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8s, they can also, so like you said, if you have 8 quarter milers and they all break that 7-year average, they can get to go to the region meet.
Exactly. And that average is updated every year. In fact, we're due for an update this year. Mm-hmm. So then to move on to the state meet, the way it works is you have to win your event. So at regions, if our girl wins the 400, then she automatically gets a berth to state. We have four areas that can qualify. So we know that the Southeast kids are going to get to, that region's going to get to bring their top qualifier. Fairbanks area is going to be able to bring their top qualifier. And then the region three, which is the Kenai Peninsula and some of those areas, will bring their top qualifier. And then we bring ours. So that's the top four. Mm-hmm. And then it's the next 12 best times, regardless of where they come from. So we might have a Juno girl running a 107, and even though her 107 is slower than a 17th place 105, that 17th place kid doesn't get in.
That's interesting. Let me make sure I'm going to say it back, make sure I'm understanding. So you have four regions. We learned how we actually get kids to the region meet. We have four regions. The winner of each event is going to go to the state meet. So that gets us four. That locks down four lanes. And then they accumulate all the data from all four regions, and they take, I'm sorry, I missed it, the next 12?
The next 12.
So they take the next 12.
Yes.
That's interesting, because one of the bigger complaints, maybe is the best way to say it, is when a kid is out of a tough region, so they don't get first, second, third, or fourth, or, you know, however many they might take to state there at their state, but they run a faster time than the other people that are auto-qualifying, and they sit home. That's a far cry. Our best athletes aren't going. This is kind of a way to mitigate that. So winning matters. So our winners are going to go.
Yes.
And then time matters. We're going to take the next 12 or play or distances for our field eventers, and they're going to go to the state meet. So we're taking 16 to the state meet, the top 16.
Yeah. And the Alaska Perfect. State Activities Association is the organization that kind of controls the way this is operated at the state level, and I think I'm speaking on their behalf and saying that this is an effort to represent some of those areas that don't have clear tracks soon enough. I mean, Fairbanks, for instance, they don't get to compete unless they're coming down to Anchorage to compete in our indoor dome. So the schools that are closer to the Anchorage area definitely have an advantage because there's indoor competition available. Southeast generally doesn't have as much snow, so they melt out a little sooner. So there's just, you know, Alaska is so geographically huge and has such different weather happening that athletes can be limited by things that are outside of their control.
I love that. You know, again, part of the reason we wanted to do this pretty audacious project here, get 50 plus one DC coaches, was to learn just how different, you know, we think of track as just this global, you know, oh, everybody does the same events and we're all trying to get to the state meet and yada yada. What happens in Alaska is different than what happens in South Carolina, New Mexico, DC, et cetera. So this is fascinating. Thank you for that, Melissa. That's awesome. So let's talk about the state meet. You're talking about snow. Typically, a state meet is in May or June. What is that correct for Alaska, or do we have to do it earlier, later?
Yes. So our season starts at the beginning of March, sometimes end of February, depending on when things are scheduled by ASA, which is the Alaska State Activities Association. And we don't have an indoor season. So even though we have an indoor dome, we don't technically call it an indoor season. It's just that's where we compete until the snow melts. This past year, for instance, we had outdoor meets scheduled that we couldn't do because the snowpack was so high that it just took a while. So we compete all the way through till regions, which is generally around the third week of May. And then Memorial Day weekend is our state meet. School's out by then. So, you know, we have to beg, borrow, and steal people's kids and beg their parents not to send them on vacations yet so that they can hang around for the state meet.
When you do those indoor meets, do those times and distances qualify for regions as well?
Yes, those qualify. And we have a 6-lane indoor track that we use. It's a little bit oversized, actually. It's a 400 and X meters. I can't remember just because of the way it was structured to accommodate the indoor soccer field. But yeah, those will count.
I wondered if you, because you probably have a lot of indoor meets and sometimes can have a ton of indoor meets because of weather. So those times should count for the outdoor state meet there. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So this state meet, where are we hosting that? We got two divisions here, Division 1, Division 2. Do they go to their own separate venues? Do we have one venue? Is it traditionally the same venue every year? Does it rotate? What are we doing here?
So the way the state meets work out is both Division 1 and Division 2 will compete at the same time. So say the 3200 is the first event on the first running event on the first day, they'll run, you know, the boys small school and then boys large school and then girls small school, girls large school, which would be Division 2, Division 1. Division 1 is the larger schools. Mm-hmm. So they're all competing at the same time. So sometimes, you know, your state champion, the person with the individual fastest time, might be from the smallest school, but both of those people, say it's the top boy in the 3200, and each of those, they each get a state title. So it's held at the same time.
Hold on, let me make sure I heard that right. For the boys 3200, are you running Division 2 and Division 1 in the same race? No, you're doing it separately. Okay, I just want to make sure I heard that right. But you're saying the small school champion could be faster or throw farther than the large school. Yeah, perfect. Okay. How many days? Keep going. Same venue? Is it the same venue every year? And how many days are we doing this over?
So it's not the same venue every year. It depends on which school district gets the bid to have that meet. And it's generally, I believe, a 3-year cycle. Could be 4, but I'm pretty sure it's a 3-year cycle where they have that meet held at that venue. And one particular school within that school district that put the bid into ASA will be hosting that meet. It's 2 days in the past. During my coaching time, I believe they tried 3-day at one point, but 2 days is what it currently is. And that's usually, you know, one of the jumps, one of the throws, and then the 3200. And prelims and all of that. And then the next day flips on the field events and then goes to the main running event finals.
And typically happens at a high school, we have Alaska Fairbank, we have some schools up there, but not a college facility.
There is no college facility here. The dome would be considered University of Alaska Anchorage's. That's where they practice, but they don't have their own track.
Oh, okay. I assume, because I know about the dome, I assume they had an outdoor facility as well. But I guess when you have that big old dome, maybe you don't up there. That makes sense.
We still dream.
That's right. Exactly. Before we get into the individual events and see what you do unique there, sometimes after the official state meet, whether it's a state track coaches association or just a group of people get together and they do some unofficial state meet, a heptathlon, decathlon, or hammer, or anything like that, meet of champions, anything like that in Alaska?
We do have something like that. I don't know if the name Trevor Dunbar rings any bells with you, but
yeah. he was okay.
Exactly. So his dad as well was just super accomplished runner, Marcus Dunbar, and he was a longtime coach at Kodiak High School. And so we have this annual meet that's called the Brian Young Invitational, and it's named after Brian Young, who was a track dad and just showed up at all the Kodiak meets. And Kodiak's a big fishing town. He was a commercial fisherman, and he actually died unexpectedly while climbing Denali, attempting to summit Denali. So Marcus and he were really good friends, and he was such a great supporter of the track venue and the whole track culture in Kodiak. Kodiak actually is called Track Town Alaska. That's the nickname everyone's given it. So he decided we were going to, he wanted to hold this meet in honor of Brian Young. So each year what we do is we create three championship teams. The Cook Inlet Conference, because we're kind of the biggest one in Anchorage, those eight teams come together as all-stars. And then North Southeast, we take the schools from the Fairbanks area as well as Southeast, and they combine to create super strong team. It's amazing how well they do. And then South Central would be more the Kenai and the private schools. They get together and they also create just a super strong powerhouse team. So what we like about it, and what Marcus's idea in this meet, is to get kids to know each other. We're so far flung, and we just compete against each other. But then during this 3-day period, in which generally you take a ferry to get there, overnight ferry to get there, overnight ferry to get back, these kids just become friends. So it's really neat. It's like a small community in a very large state.
That's awesome. I love this. I love this twist on a meet of championships, by the way, not just the kids show up who were, top four in each division or whatnot. They create these teams in there, Alaska. I love that. Do they give a team trophy out of these three? Does one of them earn a team trophy, or is it still just combatants on the individual side?
Well, what's really neat, again, you just have to come to Kodiak, because the meet is actually, it's generally held in Kodiak, but sometimes they'll take it to another location. But the winners get a small stone that has been like a beach rock that volunteers have hand painted that have their placement on it. So everyone gets their little rock and they stand on the podium with their first place, second place, hand-painted rock. And I'm telling you, the kids like it more than a baton. They like it more than a trophy, and at the end of the day, we do score the meet. And so one team, this past year, it was the Cook Inlet team took home the win, but we don't take home a trophy. It's just bragging rights and, camaraderie among Alaska kids.
And those teams, they're made of both Division I and Division II athletes. Yep. Of course, right? Yeah, that's
really
cool.
Yeah, we just go by
cool.
time. Yeah, it's really neat. It gives some of those kids that didn't get to compete together, because, like we had Tristan Merchant a couple years ago. He was at Anchorage Christian School, and he's this great runner at Liberty University now. And he was running so fast, but we had two really good, fast kids on the Chugiak team. And those boys didn't get to compete together. And, come Brian Young, they did.
That's really cool. I have to fish around. I want to see a picture of the rock, because I bet that is really good. That's one of a kind. That's custom. It's unique. That's why they like it more than a medal or a baton. Those are special. They're awesome. Yeah. But something that was hand painted by, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay. Let's keep moving on. I love that. Okay. This next question, Melissa, is a little tough, because I'm going to ask you what unique events that you do in Alaska, but they're not really unique to you. You do them. So I'm thinking of, traditionally, we do a 1600 and 3200. Do you do that? What kind of relays do you do? Do we do all the field events? Do we do javelin? What might be some unique things that you do there event-wise?
Well, I think it's the better question is, what don't we do? Because unfortunately, we don't get to do, javelin and and pole vault and all the things that a lot of the lower 48 schools do.
No pole vault.
No pole vault. No.
Is that right?
However, USA Track and Field supports pole vault, and we do offer pole vault events. And there's actually a pole vault club in Fairbanks, and they will drive down to Anchorage to compete in that.
But there's no state champion pole vaulter. Wow. Okay. No. And no javelin. Which...
Back in the day there was, but that went away before I came on board to start coaching.
And with javelin, we're about 25 states. So we're about 50-50. So it's not shocking that Alaska doesn't do javelin. Yeah. Okay. No pole vault. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. And we also do 4x2 still. There was a short, brief conversation about taking that away, I believe 2-3 years ago. And everybody begged and begged for it to stay because we love it. It's one of our favorite races. So that has stayed and we appreciate that.
You're doing 4x1 and 4x4, of course, because I've said if you don't hold the 4x4, you're not doing tracks. Of course you're doing 4x4. Exactly. Are you doing 4x8? That's not in every state.
We do 4x8. And unfortunately, it's one of those events that just comes at such an awkward time. It's really hard to put your best 4x8ers in it unless you're really going for something big. But yes, we do that.
1632, or do you mile, 2 mile, 15, 3000? 1632. Yep. Any sprint medleys, distance medleys?
No, we have one meet. It's not during the state meet, but we have one meet called the Big C Relays, and that's held early in the season indoor at the Dome. And that is a combination of all sorts of fun Swedish medley, mixed relays, LDRs, and, the sprint relays too. So that's kind of fun.
High jump, shot put discus, long jump, triple jump?
Yes.
And I'm assuming no hammer, and we'll find out, but I think we only have one state that officially does hammer. No hammer up in Alaska.
We have a lot of kids that would have loved that.
Yeah. That'd be great. I would love for that. Absolutely. Okay, that's awesome. So help us settle a argument here in Alaska, at least around your culture, your school, your program. When we're talking about this state meet, how do you talk about it when you're talking amongst your friends and your team? Are you trying to qualify for the state meet? Are you going to states? Are you going to state? Which one are we? How do we say it there?
The latter. We just say going to state. It's like capital S. You want to go to state.
You're the capital S. That's the way to think about it. All right. Good. Yeah. I love it. All right. Okay, Melissa. So I'm going to give you a magic wand here, and you get to change one thing in the Alaska State Outdoor Series, whether it's an event or a venue or how you qualify or how many divisions. One thing, if you had a magic wand to change, what would that be?
Well, boy. I have to say, I think ASA does a really good job of putting on our state meet, but if I could be someone magic or someone with unlimited funds, I would plop down a brand new state-of-the-art track facility that has everything you need for everyone in the state to use, so that we would have one set venue that would be located, University of Alaska, Anchorage, for example. It would be great for that track team to have a place that they can practice outside, but then also we can come together to a spot that is neutral and can handle the crowds and can handle the events. A lot of our tracks in Alaska at the high school level, the jumps pits are still on the track, so you can't really hold a full meet without having the jumps affect that. We have one track that the lanes are too narrow. They're 36 inches. So it's really difficult for hurdlers and relays. And then we just have some of them we do have a few that are really good, but those schools aren't necessarily making the bid to have state there every year because it's a commitment on that school district's part. So, that's more money and dreaming, but it would be great to have some neutral location that we could have long-term for all schools to use.
Reality starts a lot of times with a dream. So yeah. I like this of having one facility that hosts it year after year. You know where you're going for that capital S state meet. It has everything you need for all the different events and could actually probably then maybe hold a few more events as well. Could bring some positive change to the culture of Alaska state track and field. So that's awesome. I love that magic wand. I root for that. Absolutely. 100%. Melissa, thank you so much. As we continue or start here with Alaska, this is our second state, moving through the different states, it's going to be just so fascinating to see how things are happening and everywhere else. And this was absolutely fascinating how you guys do it up there and do it very well. Some great athletes that come out of this state that we don't really think about for track and field, but don't sleep on it. There's some amazing athletes that come out of there because of the amazing coaches. So Melissa, thank you so much for stepping up and representing Alaska. I do appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much.